what I was talking about, that for the next 2 weeks, our topic will be about our relationships with the Lord. It's not an exposition of Scripture. We're not going to look at a certain passage of Scripture. It's more of an exhortation or a encouragement on the subject. Krista and I had spent 12 days on vacation, 8 days we spent camping at Shaver Lake, the whole deal, right? The whole deal. We were campfire, we had the tents, we had the food boxes, we had the ice chest. I took for 6 days in a row a bath in the lake. Yes, I did. You know, that kind of thing. Washing in the lake, that kind of thing. In the bucket, getting the bucket out, those kind of things. You know, it was that kind of deal of camping. John and Kathy Russell let us use their 19-foot trailer. We're so thankful for them for letting us use it. We made that our kitchen where you put, you know, all your food stuff and all of your ice chests, and you just kind of make it. That's what you work your life out of. Had a little bunk bed. My grandson Cameron loved to sleep up there in the bunk bed, so we're just blessed by that. And then when we went and did anything, you could just shut the door and all your stuff was safe. You know how camping goes. If you don't do that, it's all over when you come back. You know, so we had a great time. We went to the lake. We did some fishing. Not a whole lot of fishing. We only caught one fish. I apologize to all you fishermen about that, but I'll get into that next week. My grandson Cameron was with us. We played all kinds of games. We played Clue and Skippo and Big Bad Toss. You know how all that goes. Just had a great time. Many friends and family came by and visited. I read quite a bit while I was there. In fact, sometimes my daughter would say, or my grandson would say, look at me like, you're reading again. What is up with you? We're at the lake. But I read a lot, and mostly it was at the end of the evening by the flashlight in the tent, that kind of thing. And I read a commentary on 2 Corinthians. I read a book on sanctification. I read two books by Maurice Roberts, great books, The Christian's High Calling and The Thought of God. They just really spoke to my heart, and I've read those before too, so it's not like I haven't read them. They're just really great books. And I was encouraged by the Lord to give recognition to the depth of our relationship with the Lord. He really just in my heart was speaking to me to be, let me put it this way, to see the realness of how much life is really walked with the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. To really evaluate, to look at my own life, to look at our lives. These two messages come from that encouragement and my study this week. Let me read a quote. I put it on your outline and your bulletin, a quote that I have down here. Am I going to do that because I'm in front of the speaker? Back up. Anyway, I wrote a quote, and I want to read it to you. It's in your notes there. The believer is in spiritual danger. This is Maurice Roberts, in one of the things that he wrote. Let me come to the side some more here. The believer is in spiritual danger if he allows himself to go for any length of time without tasting the love of Christ and savoring the felt comforts of the Savior's presence. When Christ ceases to fill our heart with satisfaction, our soul will go in silent search for other lovers. An incredible statement when he's talking about here. He's not talking about a conceptual idea. He's not talking about something abstract. He's talking about reality. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ is with you. He walks with you in actuality in every day, in every way. Now, I'm not going to get into the teaching about by the Spirit, the Christ is with you through the Holy Spirit, guiding you through the Word of God. I'm not going to get into the doctrine of it. I'm going to encourage us to embrace the relationship of it. How God does that is how Christ is with you, is by His Spirit, and guides us through His Word, all of that kind of thing. I'm just going to embrace and encourage you to see the relational aspect of it. Because the presence of Christ, by the truth of the Word of God, is always with you wherever you go. The love and presence of God is relational. It's not bound up in circumstance. When you lose that, when you walk away from that, when you don't embrace that, when you don't enhance that in your life, the relational aspect that your life is hidden in Christ, and you walk with Christ, and you love Christ in you, and He walks with you, and He talks to you, and He leads you in this life. And you lose the intimacy and the relationship aspect of that. Your life is in that depth relationship of walking, following after the Lord. As human beings, we quickly turn to find other lovers. When you're not satisfied in who God is and what God is doing, Mr. Roberts isn't talking about... It's talking about giving recognition to that relationship, nourishing it, savoring the Lord's presence, tasting the love of Christ each and every day. No matter how life goes, the Lord loves you and cares for you and is for you and is with you, just like that martyr that we shared in Sunday school and that you brought up in prayer. We want to recognize it and nourish that relationship in our life. It's like all the rest of your relationships, like mine, with my friends or my family or my wife. If I don't nourish them, if I'm not filled by the relationship that God has given with to my wife, if that isn't the filling thing, the thing, whatever it is, however it is, if I'm not embracing that, I will stray and I'll find it somewhere else. That's reality, right? You find that in your life. As much as you can have a friend, if you can be as much as a friend to them, if they're not being a friend back, they're straying and going and finding it somewhere else. It's the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said the same thing, and I'm going to bounce around in some scripture. You can follow me. I have them written in your outline. You can kind of, but I'm going to move along kind of quickly. I'll point you to a few, but Jesus said the same thing in Revelation 2, 1 through 4. Listen to what he said to the churches. Listen to what he said to the ones that were following him, the believers in Christ that loved him, that were in a relationship with him, that knew him and that thing. Listen to what he wrote in Revelation. He said, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. He's talking about Christ, that he walks among his church. In reality, you guys, Christ's presence is right here and always has been and always will, by the Spirit in you, by the Spirit in me. The Lord, by what the Bible says and Scripture says, is that the presence of Christ is among the people of God. That's the reality of life. That's the realness of this relationship he's talking about. And listen to what Christ says. He says, I know your deeds, I know your toil, I know your perseverance, I know that you cannot tolerate evil men, I know that you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. He says, I know you, I know your life, but I have this against you, that you left your first love. You left your relationship with me. It's so clear what he's talking about. It became about some rote system, about some order that you kept, or some doctrine that you wanted to follow, or that these are the rules of following Christ. These are the ways there are. You lost that it was about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because, you know, guys, it isn't about a set of rules or a set of things that we follow, or this ritual that we do. It's about intimately, relationally, trusting in Jesus Christ each and every day that we live our life. Is it not? Is that an amen? That's what he's talking about. You left me. You made it about you. And we are so ready to make it about us. He said, don't make it about you. It's about me. It's about walking with me and talking with me and living for me and following me. Now, God has said this all over Scripture. He says it over and over and over. He told Jeremiah to tell the people of God the same thing. Jeremiah 2, he wrote this. He said, Jeremiah, I want you to tell the people of God this. Jeremiah 2, 1, he says, now the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, go and proclaim in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord. So tell the people of God this. Tell them that I remember concerning you the devotion of your youth. God remembers the devotion of their youth, remembers their commitment to him, relational. This is all relational, guys. Think about it with me, what he's talking about. They were devoted to me, committed to me, following me. God says, I remember that. He says next, I remember the love of your betrothals. God is talking about, I remember when you were committed to me like a wife is to a husband or a husband is to a wife, where you were betrothed to me, where you loved me, where you're intimate with me, when we were one and we couldn't do anything without doing it together. He says, you're following after me in the wilderness, I remembered, through the land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first of the harvest. They were set apart, walking with God, walking with him, the first of his harvest, of the harvest of God, to bring people to relationship with him. And then listen to what it says. All who ate of that became guilty. All who ate of that relational aspect of this, that were devoted to the Lord and were betrothed to him and were following after him, they all became guilty and evil came upon them. Well, Jeremiah, what were they guilty of? What was the evil? Verse 5, they went far from me and walked after emptiness and became empty. They did not say, where is the Lord? The priest did not say, where is the Lord? They walked after the things they did not profit them. Verse 13, my people have committed two evils. they have forsaken me, the fountain of the living water. To forsaken, to leave. Relational word. It wasn't just about that they didn't follow the word of God or the commandments of God or walk in a holy manner before the Lord. Is that in relational, they had left God. God wasn't the source of life. God wasn't the answer to life. God wasn't, relational aspect wasn't what they needed, what they wanted. They had forsaken him, the fountain of living water. And what did they do? They made for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold no water. They sought out after other lovers. God teaches us in Ezekiel 16 the same thing in verses 4 and following. He teaches this relation that is going on, that this is what God is doing in his people. Listen to Ezekiel 16, verse 4 and following. It's a very interesting thing how God shows Ezekiel this relationship aspect. Verse 4 says this, "To the people of God, as for your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt or even wrapped in cloth. No, I looked with pity on you, nor did any of these things for you to have compassion on you. Rather, you were thrown out into an open field, for you were abhorred on the day that you were born." Listen to the relationship of God. "But when I passed by you, I saw you squirming in your own blood, and I said to you while you were in your own blood, 'Live.' Yes, I said, while you were in your own blood, live. I made you numerous like the plants of the field. Then you grew up, became tall, and reached the age of fine ornaments, and your breasts were formed, and your hair had grown. But you were still naked and bare. And then I saw you, and I passed by you, and behold, you were at the time for love. So I spread my skirt over you and covered you with nakedness, and I swore to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, declares the Lord. Then I bathed you with water, and I clothed you with embroidered cloth. I adorned you with ornaments." Verse 14, "Then your fame went forth among the nations on the account of your beauty, for it was perfect because of my splendor, which I bestowed upon you, declares the Lord." Did you hear the relationship? Hear the relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. "I've cleansed you, I've washed you, I've adorned you, I've clothed you. I walk with you. I care for you. I love you. I gave you life. I've picked you up. I've carried you. I've nurtured you. I've instructed you. I've guided you. I've given my life for you." It's the relational aspect of God. It's what it is. It's what he is and what he does through Jesus Christ. He brings us into relationship. God has been doing this all the way through Scripture. Listen to verse 15. "But you trusted in your beauty and played the harlot because of your fame, and you poured out your harlotries on every passerby who might be willing." God is speaking to our hearts. Relationship is important. Relationship with the Lord is important. Relationship for us to recognize in our heart and mind what this life is about and where are you with your walk with Jesus Christ. Are you there recognizing that he is with you and all that he's doing, that he is guiding and leading you, that God wants to be with you and walk with you and talk with you and use you and work through your life and do all of these things? Or have you thought it was about your fame from the blessings of God? And so you look in this life and prostitute your relationship with the Lord. Those are the things God has put on my heart that he was speaking to me. This is what God is talking about in the Word of God, in the relational aspect of what he's bringing us. Ezekiel wrote about it. Hosea said it this way, "I'm betrothed to you," or the Lord said it in Hosea, "I'm betrothed to you, you are mine." See, God's a relational God. Our life is about a relationship with him, not about a relationship with the world, not about a relationship with the earth, not about a relationship. He has brought us back into relationship with him to make it about relationship with him. All of our relationships are reflected by our relationship with him. I was talking to somebody and they were sharing with me that great thing that if you think about marriage relationship and the triangle, and you put it like this, this is a triangle, and over here's the husband and over here's the wife, and the top of the triangle is Jesus Christ. And as you focus your relationship on Christ, it just seems like as husband and wife, you just come right together and it's your relationship. Because everything is about the relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything is about relationship with God. Nothing is about relationship with God. And as you draw closer to your relationship with God, God brings things closer together in your life about the gospel, about the truth, and how you raise your kids, and how about you love your neighbor, and how you do all the things you do, because it's about a relationship with God, because God is relational. And I put some scriptures down there. If you get anything from Psalms, if you get anything from the Psalms, you get that God is a relational God. And I was going to read some of them, but for time's sake, I'm just going to give you two. I want to read from our part of it, Psalm 63:1. Just listen to what this says in here. And this is represented all over the Psalms about those that are in relationship with God and how they see this. This Psalm 63:1 says, "O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there's no water." Is that you? Is that you each and every day? That's the way you walk in this life, that I need to know the Lord. I need to walk with Christ. I need to see God in my life. I need to know what he wants me to do. I need to be guided by what he says I'm to do. He needs to be the relational aspect in my life, that's what I thirst for. Because when you move from that, when you find satisfaction in something else, that's what Mr. Roberts was talking about, is you move to that, it's somewhere else. Now, God isn't upset about us finding satisfaction in our marriage and our children. I'm not saying you don't be satisfied or find goodness in anything in life. But the first and foremost relationship that you were restored, redeemed, that Christ died for, was yours with him. It is first and foremost in all things. And we have to battle for that relationship. Like Psalm 23 says, "He is my shepherd. He leads me. He restores me. He guides me. He is with me. He provides for me. With him, I am at home and fear is quieted," because God is a relational God. And in your outline, I put in, "God through Christ has reconciled our relationships." That's the incredible story of Jesus Christ. That's the incredible story of the Bible and the New Testament and Christ coming, is God wanted to reconcile the relationships that we have. He wanted to restore them, to reconcile them, to bring them back to what they are, to break down the barrier, to remove the wall, so to speak, and all that. Turn your Bibles to Romans 5:10 with me. Let's look at this, and as we talk about it, and it's in your outline, God has reconciled our relationships. Look what he says here in Romans 5:10, what Paul is writing about through Jesus Christ, what has happened, and we need to see the relational aspect of this. We know the truth of it is, I'm at peace with God. There's no enmity between me and God anymore, but the word reconciled here has a deeper meaning about just God removing the enmity and God putting the peace. God said, "I want to be restored relationship," is what I want you to see. Look at Romans 5:10, what he says right here. Paul writes, "For if we were while we were enemies," we all get that, enemies of God, hostile enmity to God, when God looked at you, he went, "Ah," when it was like that, when we were enemies of God, "we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, restored relationship, we shall be saved by his life." See, God had to reconcile you to save you. He had to restore the relationship to save you. Think of it this way. Anybody in the room, any of you have unreconciled relationships in your life? I got a couple. I know the word of God, as far as it depends on me, be at peace with all men, I do all I can. But you have anybody in your life that you just can't be in the room with? You have anybody in your life that it's just hatred? I mean, it just spews out of their heart and mind when you're in the room with them. You got anybody that's unreconciled in your life like that? I do. I've done all the things the Lord would ask me to do and all that, but I'm not in control of those things. But where you're in the room with them, it's just, eh. Well, that's how God was with you and me before we came to Christ. He wasn't walking around saying, "Oh, there's a pretty cool person. I'm going to, you know, give my life for that pretty cool person." It was the one. See, he reconciled, he restored the relational aspect of it. That's what he's talking about in it. Listen to Richardson's definition of this in the word studies in the New Testament, what he's talking about here. Richardson writes this, we were reconciled to God. Those words, the verb means primary to exchange, and hence to change the relation of hostile parties into a relation of peace, to reconcile. In the Christian sense, this is what he writes, the change in the relation of God and man is effected through Christ. This involves, one, a movement of God toward man with a view to break down man's hostility, to commend God's love and holiness to him, and to convince him, man, of the enormity and the consequences of his sin. It is God who initiates this movement in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Hence, the passive form of the verb here means we were made subjects. Listen to this. You were made subjects of God's reconciling act. You got to let that overwhelm you. Because when you stood in a room with him, he went, and on by the act of God, on the sub, you, God said, you are the subject of mine, and I'm going to act to reconcile our relationship. Even though there's hatred, enmity, enemies, bitterness, disgust, I can't look upon you. It's a restored relationship, isn't it? Jesus Christ came to reconcile us back to God, for us to be in relationship with God. In everything and in all things. Second, he writes this, a corresponding movement on man's part toward God, yielding to the appeal of Christ's self-sacrificing love, laying aside the enmity, renouncing his sin, and turning to God in faith. Third, a corresponding change of relationship on God's part, that being removed, which has rendered him hostile to man, so that God can now receive you into fellowship and let loose upon you all his love and grace. Thus, there's complete, restored, reconciled relationship. It's complete. If you believe in Christ, if you've trusted in Christ, you right now walk in a complete, restored, reconciled relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, even if you fall apart in sin. Because it's the act of God that restored it. He's the one that desired to do it. He's the one that came down and gave his life. It's about God reconciling things back to himself. 1 Corinthians 1:19 through 20 says the same thing. 2 Corinthians 5, turn there with me, says the same thing. We're just kind of setting a foundation for maybe I might get into the message today, but this is the introduction of what we're talking about, because we have to recognize in our heart and mind just how much this life is about a relationship with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and following, listen to what God wrote through Paul to the Corinthians. He wrote this, now all these things are from God. What all things? The reconciling, the bringing about, to bringing new life, to rescuing you, to saving you, to forgiving you, that to all that you're a new creature and the old is gone and the new is here. All of this is from God, verse 18, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors, verse 20, for Christ, as though we were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of God, or behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We have to grab hold of that, church. That whole thing that he just said there is that God was in Christ reconciling, restoring the relationships that God wanted to have with his creation. And that you were given the ministry of telling people and living a reconciled relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Each and every day. It's not 1 hour in the day. It's not when you go to church. It's not on Wednesday. It's each and every day that I live in relationship with Jesus Christ. That is my life. That's the testimony of your life. I listen to him. He guides me in my life. Like I said, through the Spirit, by his word. I won't get into the doctrine of it. But in the relational aspect of it, your life every single day is to be led by Jesus Christ. Every single thing you do, all the things you act upon, the choices that you make, the life that you live, God is wanting to be involved in all of it for your good, his glory. But Christ died on the cross to restore it. For it to be that way in eternity, it's going to be that way every day. And the good thing about it is I won't have this fallen flesh and my sinful nature to get in the way of me listening to the Lord. It's that way at work. It's that way at your job. It's that way at your fun. It's that way at Shaver Lake. It's that way on being on the boat. It's that way fishing. It's that way in all of life. That's what the scripture, that's what the word of God, that's what we're going to get to in 2 Corinthians 5:18, what God is speaking about. Listen, we are ambassadors representing God's desire, Christ's desire to have a reconciled relationship with others. You must be in one yourselves. You have to be nourishing it, embracing it, loving it, recognizing it, proclaiming it, or you are going to move to find satisfaction somewhere else and find another lover. And that is the challenge of this life. In a world filled with all that it is, in the world that has everything that it has in it, in America that has every opportunity before us, in a place where there's so much to do, so much to think about, God wants us to think about our relationship with Christ each and every day. I'm deciding where I go by the time I have. It might be 3 weeks that we take to go through this. And like I said, you're just getting some of the things that God put on my heart, and as I studied the Word of God and as I went through and I thought about the different things about the relationship with God that He prompted in my heart, I wrote them down. I've been studying them even while I was up at the lake. And we're going to end with this. Turn to your Bibles. You're already at 2 Corinthians 5 if you've been following along. Look at verse 6. We'll just touch on that we walk by faith. We have not by sight. That was in that song. That was a great song. Thank you, Josh, and the praise team for presenting that to us. It just fills my heart. Paul writing here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, he says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Makes this statement in here. The context is about what's going on in life with Paul and that we have a tent not made with hands, the building from God waiting for us, uses a lot of analogies, and that in this life we're walking by faith, not by sight. Let me tell you something. Our faith is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. The object of our faith is Him. You know, the object of your faith isn't you. The object of your faith isn't your ability to follow the Word of God. The object of your faith isn't your obedience. The object of your faith is God, is Christ, through Jesus Christ. It's Him. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. We are to fix our eyes on Christ. Hebrews 12:2, that means we're to keep our focus on Him and what He wants to do in this world and the work of Christ and what He's doing. And we'll get into more of that next week, of talking about what is Christ here doing through us and what is the work of Christ. But I want to touch on this, that we walk by faith, not by sight. That word sight in the Greek is really better translated appearances. We don't live by this life by appearances. We live this life by trust in the Lord, by believing in Him and His work, not our own work. That's what we need to think about today. If you were there when Jesus was there, if you were there when the church was being built and Christ was there before He died on the cross, would you have followed Him? I don't know. I looked at His life. You look at it through the Gospels. By all appearances, it looked pretty pathetic. How about you? Didn't it look pretty pathetic? Nobody listened to him. They were beating him up. He didn't have any, you know, authority, really. In a world standard on how we look at kind of things, would, you know, Jesus come along, we'd say, "Wow, you know, nice power, man. Look at all the things that you got going on. Look at the things that happened to you." How about Paul? If you lived during the early age and Paul was there, and Paul was your pastor, and he was the apostle, and he was teaching and all that kind of stuff, and you know, by all appearances, would you put your faith in what Paul had to say? Somebody help me. Somebody give me an answer. Would it have been hard? I mean, look, hey, man, they beat him all the time, man. They throw him in jail. You know what? People reject him. You know, then the church, the Corinthian church, you know, people come in and start just hammering Paul, telling you, "Paul, yeah, he's a fake apostle," all that kind of stuff. His life looked pretty pathetic, too. Would you agree? Okay, by your life, by all appearances in your life, if you think about your life, is it about the appearance of your life? People are going to say, "Ooh, look at your life. Oh, I want to follow Jesus Christ because of the appearance of your life." Has God ever set it up to be that way? I read the New Testament. I don't see it set up to be that way. Now, we can see God in your life. We can see Christ. We can see the hope. We can see the assurance. We can see the trust. We can see where your faith is. But the appearance of your life, what it looks like. Because people die at 20 from cancer. People get run over. All these kind of things happen to Christians, right? The guy that got his eye taken out, his arm cut off. I don't know if I would follow him. Look at your faith, man. They cut off your eye and they cut your arm off. They stab you a bunch of times. It's not about appearances. Would you agree? Now, we can sure bear fruit. We can look at the fruit. We can see the reality of our relationship with the Lord. But we walk by faith, not by sight. That's what I want to get to in your heart and mind. Paul didn't conclude how to live by the condition of it, did he? I don't want to conclude how to live by the condition of life. Paul walked in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in faith in what the Lord was doing, not the outcome of life. Amen? And in our heart, if we don't recognize the relationship with the Lord, now God can bless you and things can be what they are. Nobody needs to crash and burn to do this. Nobody needs to have a hard life to do this. But if we don't recognize in our heart and in our relationship with the Lord that this is about our faith in Him and what He's doing, we're going to silently, quickly move that it's about what's happening. Am I speaking truth? Because that's what happens in our life. God, why'd this happen? And I got a testimony to give you because God really worked in my heart and mind for me to have a more solid thing that I walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 3 years ago, November 6th, my grandson got bit by a dog. Tragic. Difficult. And then all of you have all kinds of things like that in your life. And I pray that God uses the things in your life to bring you to the places that He has for you to trust in your relationship in Him and Him alone, not even in your obedience, not even in your faith, but your faith in Him. I can give you, some people can attest to you that when we were in the hospital, these words came out of my mouth. I don't know if I can do this. I've been going to seminary. I've had some difficult things in life. I've been challenged by things in life. God, this isn't working out. And I don't know if I'm going to follow You anymore. This isn't right, all that I got going on in life and all that I'm challenged and what we're going through, for You to allow this to happen to my grandson. That's where my heart was. I'm going to give testimony. Took me a couple of weeks. And I have a relationship with Christ, and Christ said this. Ken, are you going to trust Me in the work that I'm doing? Or are you going to put your trust in what you're doing? Because what I'm doing is so much greater than what you're doing, Ken. And you might have to go through a lot of things in life. But what the Lord is doing is so much more than my life. And at that point, at that time, I don't want any of these hard things to happen. I know you don't want anything of these hard things to happen. God taught me to trust in Christ for this life and not to walk by sight. It's hard. I know many of you, I could ask you to give up and give your testimony. You're standing right here in front of me about how God has been working in your life, that you are learning and you are working on in your relation aspect with the Lord Jesus Christ, that He says, hey, I'm at work. You want to join Me in the work that I'm doing? Or do you want to walk by appearances? Because it's faith in Me and Me alone. That's the reality of Christianity. That's the realness of Scripture. That's the reality of God coming down and reconciling us back to God through Christ and bringing us into relationship with us. Because God has a plan, and He wants to involve you in it. And when you're His, He involves you in it. And He's at work in your life, sanctifying you, growing your faith in Him, changing you, having you see Him. And if I could have you see anything today, is that if you embrace that it is that kind of relationship with Christ, it's not about a written word, rules. It's not about so much a duty. It's about a relationship that we have with the Lord and that He is at work. He, you know what? He knows the end from the beginning. And I doubt Him. I doubt Him with my life and with my family's life and with what He's doing. And I want to work in my life and grow in my life that I don't doubt Him. I guess I would say as much as I do at times, because I'm not going to arrive in that. but that I would trust in him. Let's sing our closing song. And as they come up, would you bow your head in prayer with me and just open your heart up to the Lord and whatever you want to talk to him about today, because it's relational and his presence is here. Through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ, and he wants to interact with you. We'll look at intimacy more in faith next week. Lord, we come to you today in humility. There's nobody in the room that has got this down right or perfect. We're all fumbling through this in some form or manner, Lord, but, you know, the perfect patience of a Lord and a Savior is incredible. The Scripture would call it, you're the bridegroom, we're the bride. I can't be loved any greater than Jesus being my bridegroom. None of us can. Father, I pray that you would use your work, that we'd use your word, that you'd use us to be representative of what it looks like to walk with Christ. I pray and I ask you that you would grow us and shape us in that manner. That we embrace all that you have given us, that we'd have the joy of the Lord in all that we do, that we would enjoy all that you have given us, that we would be a testimony to what it looks like to love Christ, to be in relationship with Christ, to listen to him, to love him, to represent him. I know that's a big prayer, but it's what you're doing, Lord, in your people. I pray, Lord, for those that are here today that in their heart or in their mind have wandered in some form or manner, where they've moved away from just seeking you each and every day and just wanting to hear from you each and every day and desiring it even in their life. There's no condemnation in you, Lord. But boy, as a bridegroom, you sure must be broken over your bride not wanting to even talk to you at all. But I would pray, Lord, and lift them to you and ask you to speak to their heart and draw them back. Bring them back to that walk with the Lord that you desire. Yes, for our good, Lord. Yes, for the benefit, for the blessing it is to live for Christ here and now. But ultimately, Lord, for you. To give honor and glory to you where all is due. Worthy is you, Lord. I'm just so thankful that I can be here today and be part of this family of God and be growing in the Word of God and growing in my relationship with you along with those that are here. Knowing, Lord, that you are at work among our midst, that you are the one guiding and leading, that you are the one over us. You're the head of the body of Christ. You're the shepherd of our soul. You're the lover of our soul.